It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of Matthew, the book of Matthew, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the very first book of the New Testament, the book of Matthew, and we're at the 11th chapter, and we're going to begin reading with verse 27, and we're going to read to the end of the chapter. And so please that you would look that up and be able to read along, follow along with us today, and then any of the many cross-references that we look at as we study the precious Word. Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church, located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, 217-847-2717 is the phone number here at the church. Send us an email, parkviewbible@gmail.com, parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one of those email addresses would work just fine. And if you'd like to check our website out, I'd love for you to do that. We have many studies there that hopefully, prayerfully, will help you to grow, help you to come to know the Lord Jesus. And our plan of salvation is there. The Constitution is there for you to see exactly where we stand upon the Word of God and upon following the Lord. And it is found at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That is parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hopefully that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles, and we'll begin the study of Matthew chapter 11, beginning to read with verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he is whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls, unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. What beautiful words of Scripture, many that you've heard many times, I'm sure. We're going to enjoy that today. So please, now let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, thank you that we can come, enjoy your precious Word. It's just such a joy, Father, to be able to open your Word and to enjoy it with all these folks that are listening today. Just touch their hearts. Touch my heart, Father. Just move us each and every day. Guide us each and every day, Father, please. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity to proclaim your Word, and I ask that you will touch every heart, those that do not know you as their Savior, that today they would come to know you through this study or through your Word, Father. That's what's so important. So we just do this to bring honor and glory to you, dear Father. So we pray that we have touched every heart that's listening, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We need to understand something here concerning the relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And right here, we find that all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And so at some time in eternity back, behind us here, all things were committed unto God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We have some verses of Scripture that we're going to read that help us to understand, you know, the Word of God, the way it's confirmed is not by some man that writes about it, but the Word of God is confirmed by the Word of God, and we need to understand that and know that, look each day to that. Colossians chapter 1, the 16th verse, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." Now, if you have any questions about the statement that we started with today concerning all things are delivered unto me of my Father, I think you need to go back again to look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 19, and I think that would help you. And just maybe if we go back to the Gospel of John, this might as well help you to understand. Many people have the thought, or maybe were taught, that the Lord Jesus didn't come into existence. The Son of God did not come into existence until his birth. That is not true. We need to look at John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And if we'll jump down now to verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So those few verses of Scripture there bring to light that the Lord Jesus was from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and then in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. All things were made by him, once again confirming the same as what it told us back in Colossians. And now, again, back to verse 27 in Matthew 11. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he is whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Now, Christ has control, the Lord Jesus Christ has control over all things for the good of the church. Now, this is the true church. This is not just any church. This is the church body, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people do not understand the difference. Maybe you're one of them that do not understand the difference between the Father and the Son. We have a Trinity here, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father is handed, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. So everything is given to the Son. So the Son is the one, the Lord Jesus, he is the one that has created all the worlds as we know them. He is the one that's put it into place. He is the one that sustains it, that holds it into place. And he, as we read back in Colossians, is the head of the church, the true church, those that are born again. Now, you may, as we started to say a minute ago there, you may pray to God the Father. You say, God this and God this. You cannot know the Father unless you know the Son. You must come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in him. Then you can know the Father. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes to live within your heart. Jesus is the head and the foundation of the church. And we're going to look at that back in Ephesians. The church being the body of believers, not a given denomination, not a certain group of people. I pray that all that come here, that attend here, are born again believers, that they have called upon the Lord Jesus. When the Holy Spirit had convicted their hearts, they were reading the Word, or they heard the Word, and the Spirit convicted them, showing them that they were a wicked, lost sinner and needed a Savior. And then that precious Spirit introduces you to the Lord Jesus, and you say, yes, I accept him as my Savior, and he saves you, and he keeps you. And so it's so important that we do that and trust in the Lord Jesus, because if you have not carried that out, if you just are a member of the church, a physical church, and not the spiritual church. You have never faced your sin nor come to the Lord Jesus. You said a few words when you joined the church, and that was good enough, but it wasn't. It's a relationship between you and the Lord Jesus, not between you and the pastor of the church or the deacons of the church or some group. This is personal. This is between you and the Lord Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. I kind of repeat this several times and kind of go on to a few other things. That way it gives you an opportunity to find these locations, these places in your Bible. I do not have them pre-marked, and so I'm doing the same thing. I'm finding them, so I hope you know your Bible well enough to do that. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Once again, for the husband is the head of the wife. Now, you know, in today's society, we've got some rebellion against that. This is what the Word of God says. This is not what I say. This is what God's precious Word says. Even as Christ is the head of the church, okay, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Jesus died for all the world, and those that believe have the opportunity of that gift. In verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now see, that reference is made there, and a lot of people misunderstand that, talking about baptism. We're not talking about baptism, we're talking about the Word of God, how that it cleanses us, it washes us, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's the desire that our Lord has. So not only does he save us, but he also sets us apart, does a work in our hearts. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. They shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverences her husband. We come back to that 24th verse there. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ. Now, so often we have a church board, and we have folks that make decisions. And many times those people aren't even saved that are making those decisions. We need to trust in the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We need to walk with him each and every day. We need to serve him. And the church is led by the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the pastor is an under-shepherd. And then the people that are under that, it's a place of position. And here it speaks of the family, the father and the mother, the wife and the husband, and who has those decisions. Now, again, why do you think that the world is trying so hard to destroy the family? Why do you think the world is trying so hard to get two women married, two men married, totally contrary to the Word of God? They do not desire to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. They do not desire, said, oh no, yes, I believe in Jesus and I'm in church, but I still believe in the homosexuals. Then you're lying to yourself, because the Word of God is contrary, a man and a woman, period. And you're born a boy, you're a boy, you're a man. You're born a woman, you're a woman. This nonsense of today that whatever you feel like, that is nothing but a trick of the devil. You've been duped by the devil. So I want you to wake up. I want you to repent. turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation. Be born again. Get rid of that nonsense that's in your mind and start serving the Lord. And be married, the wife to the husband to the wife, the man to the woman, as God has so placed it. So we have not only here confirmation of those things, but we also then have confirmation of the position the Lord Jesus is concerning his church. Jesus is the head and the foundation of the church. Jesus is given this commitment and is committed to him the control of the world, of the government. And so we think, you know, why is things such a mess? Right now, the devil is the prince of this world. He is the one that's in control of it. Our God is over him because he wants everybody to choose to serve him, to serve God, not to be required to serve him, but to serve him out of love and out of a desire to serve him. As we look at the verses that we had looked at just a little bit earlier, very, very familiar to these here, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above principalities, powers, and might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. He hath put all things under his feet, verse 22 of Ephesians 1, and gave him to be the head over all things, the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. All his universe will eventually come to the place of honoring and glorifying God. We're in the study of Revelation right now. We're in the study back in Daniel as well. Both of those areas are very clearly speaking of the regathering of Israel and the time and the point and the place where every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath he quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. He hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Jesus Christ. It's going to be a glorious day. A glorious day. We not only enjoy life today with him, but also we're going to enjoy eternity with him. And not just in spirit, but in body as well, because he's going to raise us up out of the grave if we have to face that. If he comes to get us before we face the grave, we will receive a wonderful, glorified body and be forever with him. What a joy. In order to have that and possess that, we must be saved. We must be saved. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. As I said earlier, we're going to go through a lot of verses of Scripture here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. But if our gospel be hid, that's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it is hid to them that are lost. So you see, if you say, you know, Larry, I don't know that. I haven't heard that. I understand. And look at verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. The God of this world, that's none other than the devil. You want to do what the devil wants you to do? In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's the desire of our hearts today, that you would see the light of Jesus. Get away from that darkness the devil has to offer, but see the light of the Lord Jesus. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Christ's sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It is so important that we preach Christ. We tell people about the Lord Jesus. We tell people that he died for our sins. He died so that we can live. We have got to speak that precious word. The natural man is dead in his trespasses and sins. Now, that's maybe hard for you to understand, that you are dead in your trespasses and sins. Let's look over here at Ephesians chapter 2. We're right here in this same area. 1st, 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. We're right in that same area there. It's not very far away from each other. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh, of our minds, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Yes, we are naturally dead in our trespasses and sins. We must come by faith to Jesus and trust in him. Let's come back to 2 Corinthians again. Maybe you kept your finger there and hand there. Hope that you did. Because as we read earlier, we read that fourth verse, and it really helps us to see. We're going to read it again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. This old devil, he wants to do everything for you not to be born again, not to be saved. Now, just the very fact that you're following after the devil should kind of wake you up a little bit, turn you to the Lord Jesus. Don't think of any church doctrine or church membership can save you. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. You need a church. You need a church home where you can grow and learn. But that church as itself cannot save you. Jesus will save you. He needs to save you. He needs to see you come by faith to him and be born again. Romans chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, helps us understand, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. See, you have no desire to come by faith to Jesus. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So you see, if you're trying to do everything you're doing in your own means, you're going to fail. You have failed. You need to recognize, you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus and trust in him. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But the carnal man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's the reason that you hear me so many times saying right up front, come by faith to Jesus. When you come by faith to Jesus, then all this begins to fall into place. But not until then. Not until you come by faith to Jesus. You say, well, it doesn't make any sense to me. No, it's not going to. It's not going to. Just accept one thing, that you're a lost sinner. Recognize that. You know it. The Spirit's showing you. You know it. And then say, yes, Jesus, I trust in you. And all of a sudden, the windows of your mind, your heart are opened to His will and His way. And the joy that you're going to possess will be wonderful. The natural man is hopeless. He is helpless. He is hell bound apart from this wonderful decision to trust in Jesus. You must come by faith of Jesus. You know, the plan of salvation is so simple. Romans chapter 10, beginning to read with the eighth verse. It's so beautiful, and I'm just going to read all the way down through verse 17. Romans chapter 10, mark this, write this down. This is right on our website, parkviewbiblechurch.org. You can go right to the book of Matthew, come right down to this date, and you're going to find this message. It'll be, and look for chapter 11, verse 27, and you can sit and listen to it and go through any questions that you might have. Then call me, email me, let me know so that we can pray for you and help you to grow. Romans chapter 10, verse 8, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preached, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, listen, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. But Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All you need to do is recognize that you're a lost sinner, lost, condemned. Recognize that, please. The word of God brings you to that point if you'll just accept it. And then call upon the Lord Jesus for salvation. The lost, the dead, blinded, helpless sinner must first hear the word of God and believe the word. You've heard the word today. It's been proclaimed to you today. So please listen. Listen. Go back to Romans chapter 10, beginning to read there in the 8th verse and read all the way through to that 17th verse. We covered a lot of verses of Scripture today. We started with Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 18. Then we went to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23 through 32. Ephesians 1, 20 and through 22, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 7, 2 Corinthians 4, 3 through 6. That's just a few of them we covered today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?